بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our 26th session, reading from the commentaries Al-Riyadh and Nadiyah, related to the Aqidah Al-Tahawiyah by Al-Imam Abu Ja'far Ahmed ibn Muhammad ibn Salam Al-Tahawi rahimahullah. And in tonight's session, بإذن الله تعالى, we're going to begin a new topic that's quite lengthy and that the author discusses in much detail, more than is what is normally discussed in a summarized presentation of the Aqidah of the Ahl Sunnah. And that topic is the topic of the Divine Decree, Al-Qabr. And tonight, in tonight's session, بإذن الله تعالى, the Shaykh begins with a discussion concerning the first level or the first degree of what is required for Iman in Al-Qadr and a summary of the four levels. Before that though, we're going to look at some of the topics that we talked about last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 25. The first question being, mention the 42nd statement of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi, yani the 42nd statement is numbered as 85 in the explanation of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, and it's numbered as 84 in the English translation. Mention the 42nd statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi. Naam. Yes. Alaykum as-salam. The Mithaq. No. Yani that the covenant, the agreement, yani the contract that Allah made with Adam alayhi salam and his descendants, his offspring, is real, it's true. It actually did take place and people, and we are responsible for it. The mithaq, which Allah had taken from Adam and his descendants, is true. Question number two. What does Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan say is the mithaq, the covenant which Allah has taken from Adam and his offspring? What is the mithaq? And what does it entail? Naam Ali.
He stated that the covenant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made with Adam alayhi salam and his descendants, namely that they would worship him and do not associate anything as partners with him, is real.
Naam.
And this is according to what has been related in the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that.
Right, we'll come to the hadith, inshallah.
I'm sorry.
Yani, the mithaq, what is the mithaq? It is the agreement, yani the covenant that Allah took from Adam and his descendants to worship him and to not worship anything or anyone along with him. Yani to establish a tawheed in the worship of Allah and to avoid shirk. This is the covenant that Allah took from Adam alayhi salam and his companions. The third question, summarize the hadith of Ibn Abbas, which contains mention of the mithaq taken from Adam and his offspring. Summarize, yani what is mentioned in that hadith, hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Does anybody have any idea what is the hadith about? What does it mention? Fadl, summary. Summary. Okay, so that Allah took the offspring of Adam from his loins. Naam. What else is in that hadith? Naam. Okay, that he took them out and he spread them out on a plain, yani. And some of the narrations mention the place, yani Na'man, that it is Arafat or some place near Arafat. Naam. What else? Now he spoke to them directly and said to them, Alastu bi Rabbikum. He spoke to them directly with these words, am I not your Rabb? Naam. And finally, anything else in that hadith? Naam.
And they said, yes, we confess.
And they affirmed. Yani they said, yes, Bala, Shahidna. Yani we bear witness that you are our Rabb to the end of, yani what's mentioned in the ayat. Question number 4 is in reference to the ayat that this is yani mentioned in relation to. Memorize the ayat from 7th surah, 172nd ayat, which some scholars view as referring to the mithaq taken from Adam and his offspring. The ayat that some of the scholars said yani refers to this covenant that Allah took from Adam and his offspring. Now, give us the ayat, even in Arabic or translation in English. Fadl.
And mentioned the Lord took from the children of Adam from their loins its sins. That's Surah 7, ayat
7. Yani the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember, yani mention when your Rabb took from the Bani Adam, from the children of Adam, من ظهورهم, from their loins, ذرياتهم, yani their offspring. And yani, وأشهدهم على أنفسهم, and he caused them to bear witness against themselves, yani that they know, and that they are aware, and that they recognize that Allah is their Rabb. Yani sometimes the question has the word memorize in it, and that's yani for a reason. The reason why yani some of the questions, few of the questions are required for memorization, because these are ayats that are critically important for the subject, for a person to retain the topic accurately. And therefore, yani, some things have to be memorized. I mean, we're from, yani, many of us are from this Western society where memorization is not a part of the educational system, but we are Muslims. But we are Muslims. And Muslims are required to memorize. We have to memorize something of the Quran. If a person doesn't memorize the entire Quran, every Muslim has to memorize from the Quran, and have to memorize from the Sunnah, and have to memorize important principles of Islam. So please pay attention when you see the memorize. Make some effort to memorize. Question number 5. How does Sheikh Salih Fawzan say other scholars explained what is meant or what is intended by this very same ayat? What did some of the other scholars say is intended or is meant by this ayat? A different interpretation. Now, Fadl.
والقول الآخر الآية بأنها الفطرة التي خلقها والعلامات التي في الدنيا.
طيب. يعني some of the scholars said that this ayat is not referring to the covenant when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the offspring of Adam from his loins. Rather, this ayat is referring to a different type of shahada, the testimony that's in the nature upon which the human being was created, the fitrah that Allah created the human being upon. That this is the testimony that bears witness in the nature of the human being that Allah is the Rabb, and that there's only one Rabb, that there's only one creator, and He's the only one that deserves to be worshipped, in addition to the signs that Allah put in the creation, in al-ayat al-qawniyah, that Allah put in the creation, which also acknowledge and recognize, if a person looks at them and examines them, that there is a creator and that there is only one creator and He alone deserves to be worshipped. Question number 6. Memorize an ayat, yani from the 30th surah, surah to Rum, 30th ayat, which refers to the same meaning intended by the above ayat. Surah to Rum, 30th surah, 30th ayat. Fadl. Turn your face to the deen of Allah. Huh? What, rest of it? Naam, hanifan, yani upright, yani the fitra which Allah yani created the people upon, created the people upon, yani the fitra that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the people upon. So in this ayat, yani Allah is informing us, yani is commanding us that a person should turn their face, yani direct their self, their whole being towards the deen, yani uprightness, tawheed, and avoiding shirk, which Allah has created the human being upon. Question number 7. Where does Sheikh Salih Fawzan, hafidhullah, say Allah has set up evidences or signs that point to His rububiyyah? That is, that He is the Khaliq, the Creator. Where has Allah set up signs or evidences that point to His rububiyyah? Now, Ali.
He set up signs, from His signs are the heaven and the earth.
Okay, so from His signs or that which is in the heavens and the earth, And also, even before that, I'm saying he mentioned before that what is closer to the human being, the signs that are in oneself, yani in the amazing, wonderful creation of the human being. The human being looks at one's own self and can see yani amazing signs that point to the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The final question, how does Shaykh Salih Fawzan connect Tawheed al-Rububiyyah to Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah in this discussion? How does he connect yani Tawheed al-Rububiyyah to Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah in this discussion? So, yani, this question requires that a person actually read carefully yani the statement of the Shaykh. Now, and I tried to yani bring it out last week so that it would be a little bit more obvious. Fadla, now, he mentions that once a human being accepts that Allah is the Rabb, that He is the Rabb of everything, then and realizes and acknowledges and accepts the reality that no one other than Allah can create anything at all, even the smallest of creations. If a person recognizes that Allah is the Rabb and He is the only creator, then there's no other choice, except that a person acknowledges that he's the only one who deserves to be worshipped. If he is the one who created everything, who controls everything, who owns everything, who gives life and death, then how is it possible, the Shaykh says, that other than him can be worshipped? How is it possible to worship other than Allah? And this is an argument that comes throughout the Quran, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to the pagans who created the heavens and the earth, and questions like this, and they say Allah. So then Allah comes back with what? Then how then can you offer worship to other than Allah? So these are some of the points that we discussed last week. And tonight, bi-idhn ilahi ta'ala, we're going to a new topic, and that is the topic of the divine decree, al-qadha wal-qadr. And as I mentioned earlier, the Shaykh has given a lot of detail concerning this topic. And we're going to start tonight with his introduction to the topic, which in which he outlines the four levels that are required for a person to have correct iman in the divine decree. And this topic, yani tonight, is primarily focused on the first of those levels of what is required for iman in al-qadr, and that is Allah's knowledge of everything. And specifically he mentions here in this statement that Allah, yani from the things that he knew, and he knows everything, is any how many people would be in the paradise and how many people would be in the hellfire. So Al-Imam Al-Tahawi rahimahullah, in this statement, he begins by saying, وَقَدْ عَلِمَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي مَا لَمْ يَزَلْ عَدَدَ مَنْ يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ وَعَدَدَ مَنْ يَدْخُلُ النَّارِ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدَةً فَلَا يُزْدَادُ فِي ذَلِكَ الْعَدَدْ وَلَا يُنْقَصُ. Yani in my book it has يَنْقُصُ, but it seems that what is more correct is يُنْقَصُ, as in some of the other yani books as it came, the voweling. In any case, the meaning is clear. وَلَا يُنْقَصُ مِنْهُ, yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala certainly had knowledge since eternity, yani forever, always did have knowledge of the number of the people who would be in the paradise and the number of the people who would be in the hellfire. Yani the sum total of the number of people who would be in the paradise and the people who would be in the hellfire, and this number would not be increased at all, nor would it be decreased. It would be as Allah knew it to be always, as Allah always knew it to be. Shaykh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah, he says in his commentary to this particular point, yani the 43rd statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, which he has numbered as 86, he says, هذا الكلام وما بعده من كلام الشيخ رحمه الله كله في موضوع القضاء والقضاء. Yani that this speech or this statement of the author رحمه الله and what follows it, and what follows it, all of it is related to the subject or the topic of the divine decree, al-qadha wal-qadha. And I'm going to just make note of a point that I think will be of benefit to us, especially when we're looking at translations, and sometimes every translator has a different translation for the same words. And sometimes it causes some confusion. So what I'm going to do here, in reference to the two terms, al-qadha and al-qadha, and they have been translated with so many different ways that, and it's almost like useless to read the translation of them. What I want to do is read the explanation of Shaykh al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, how he explained what is the meaning of these two words, so we can keep these meanings in our mind as opposed to the translations, as opposed to the different ways that people have translated them. As predestination, preordination, pre-measurement, pre-whatever, all kind of different words that they have used. And so let's see what the Shaykh, he says in his explanation of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah concerning the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah that the Firqa al-Najiyah, Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, yani believe in the Qadr, Khayrihi wa Sharrihi. He says, Al-Qadr fil-Lugha bimana al-Taqdeer. Yani linguistically, the meaning of Qadr is al-Taqdeer, yani the measurement of something. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran concerning this in Surah Al-Qamar, which I think is 54th Surah, 49th Ayah, إِنَّا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَنَاهُ بِقَدَرٍ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, everything, we have created it with qadr, yani with a measurement. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has measured everything and determined the extent of everything. As mentioned in some of the hadith concerning the human being, person's provisions and their lifespan and their deeds and their yani destination, yani whether they would be of the people who are fortunate in paradise or wretched in the hellfire. So he says that the meaning linguistically of qadr is taqdeer, yani the measurement of something, the specification of its yani existence, its extent, time and otherwise. And he also mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Mursalat, فَقَدَرْنَا وَنِعْمَ الْقَادِرِينَ. And we have yani measured everything, and blessed are those who have measured it. This ayat the Shaykh is mentioning here to refer to yani the meaning of the first of these two words, al-qadr. Linguistically, it means to set the measurement, the extent of things. أما القضاء فهو في اللغة الحكم. He says, but as far as the word القضاء, linguistically it means الحكم, يعني the judgment or a judgment or a ruling, يعني to decide something. Then he says, for this reason we say that the قضاء and the قدر متباينان in اجتماع, yani that they are separate and distinct if they are mentioned together. Yani al-qadha and al-qadha, if they are mentioned together, they have separate and distinct different meanings. But they are mutaradifan, yani they have the same or similar meaning when they are mentioned together. And this is based on the saying of some of the scholars that these are two words which when they come together, they separate. And when they are separate, then they come together. Meaning, when they come together, when they are mentioned together, they have separate meanings. But when they separate, when they are mentioned separately, individually, then they have, the meaning comes together, they have the same meaning. And for this reason, it's important to keep in mind that if the word al-qadha is mentioned, or the word al-qadha is mentioned, generally what is intended is the same thing. But when they are mentioned together, they do have different meanings. Linguistically, al-qadha, it means taqdeer, the measurement, and al-qadha means the hukum, yani the ruling or the judgment, or yani the, in this case we'll see as the Shaykh mentions, yani the sharia meaning, he says, التقدير هو ما قدره الله تعالى في العزل أن يكون في خلقه. Yani the taqdir or the qadr is what Allah has decided, yani has measured, has fixed from the beginning, yani eternally, to occur in his creation. He has fixed that things will occur, things will come into being, and they will yani they will be as he fixed it to be, as he measured it to be. أما القضاء فهو ما قضى به الله سبحانه وتعالى في خلقه. من إيجاد أو إعدام أو تغيير. وعلى هذا يكون التقدير سابقا. And I'm going to stop with this. And he says that, so يعني in the Sharia, what is intended by القضاء is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ما قضى به الله, ما قضى به الله subhanahu wa ta'ala في خلقه. يعني what Allah has يعني decided, meaning to carry out, to execute, in terms of what? Ijad, bringing something into existence. Or i'dam, taking it out of existence. Or taghyir, changing its existence. Three things. Either Allah is bringing something into existence, or He is taking something that exists out of existence. Or He's leaving something that exists but changing its condition. This is what is meant by يعني القضاء, that Allah decided based on what He pre-measured to be, He decided to execute, to carry it out. يعني to bring something into existence or to take it out of existence or to change its condition. He said based on this then, the taqdeer, the qadr came first. يعني that Allah pre-measured everything and then at some point He brought it into existence. Whether human beings or other than that, of things in the creation, that He pre-measured. He knew from the beginning that this is going to come into existence in a certain way, in a certain amount, and then when He willed, He brought it into existence. And when He willed, He created it, brought it into existence, or took it out of existence, or changed this existence. So that being said, and the Sheikh has some further lengthy discussion, but you know, we're going to suffice with this. That being said, the point here is what? That what we want to try to understand is that even though qadr or taqdeer and qada may have the same meaning, generally speaking, but when they are used together, they do have their own distinct, different meaning. And qadr is what Allah pre-decreed, what He pre-measured of everything that's going to come into existence, before it came into existence. And the qada means when He carried out that, when He willed it to actually occur, and He executed, yani what He pre-decreed. He brings it into existence, or takes it out of existence, or changes its existence. Okay, with that being said, I just wanted to say that so that, yani when we mention al-qadha and al-qadha, yani we should be keeping in mind that even though they have the same meaning when they are used, yani individually, but when they are used together, we should try to keep in mind that there are two meanings here. Yani one is the thing that Allah pre-measured, pre-decided. And the other is when He actually brings into existence what He wills, creates it, or takes it out of existence or otherwise. Now, so the Shaykh says all of this speech, and in the speech of the Shaykh here, that Allah always knew the number of the people who will be in the paradise, the number of the people who will be in the hellfire, the sum total of them, and that number would not increase or decrease. He says this speech and what follows it, and there are a lot of statements that the Shaykh makes, here, and Sheikh Salih Fazal has explained them in maybe 20 or 30 points related to this matter. He said all of this is related to the subject of Al-Qadha and Al-Qadr, the Divine Decree. Having Iman in Al-Qadha and Qadr is one of the six pillars of Iman. It's one of the six pillars of Iman. So the fact that it's from the six pillars of Iman makes us to know that these six things are the most important fundamentals of what Muslims believe in. And it is from amongst them. So this is an important, very, very important topic. The Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith as reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, Al-Iman أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر بالقدر خيره وشره. يعني that Iman is that a person believes in Allah and believes in His angels, and believes in His revelations, and believes in His messengers, and believes in the day, the last day, the day of judgment. And he mentioned, he repeated the word tu'min here to emphasize the importance of having iman in the qadr, the divine decree, the good of it, and the evil of it. And in the Quran, Allah Jalla wa Ala says, "Inna kulla shayin khalaqnahu biqadrin." That everything we have created with a pre-measurement. And also the saying of Allah, خَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا, that Allah is the one who created everything. everything that exists or everything that will exist, Allah is the only creator, and He has yani fixed it with a precise measurement. So there's nothing, the Shaykh is saying, so there's nothing that doesn't have a fixed measurement, a divine decree. There's nothing that exists that doesn't have a taqdeer, that exists without yani Allah having fixed its existence. And there's أو أن هناك أشياء تقع صدفة يعني, and there's nothing that occurs in this world, there's nothing that occurs by chance يعني by accident, rather it is all يعني occurring by the divine decree يعني the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's nothing أو أن الأمر أُرف, and it appears that the meaning of al-unuf here, the meaning of it is specifically related to this topic, that there's no such thing as an affair which yani it exists without Allah's previous knowledge, without Allah's decree. There's no such thing that occurs without Allah's previous knowledge or without His yani fixing the matter from the yani before, from before it came into existence. And everything that occurs, then it is فَإِنَّهُ مُقَدَّرٌ وَمَكْتُوبٌ. Everything that occurs, yani it has a measured, a pre-measured existence, and it is already written, and it is already written. So iman in al-qada wal-qada, it entails four darajat, yani four degrees or four levels. And we will summarize them in what follows. So the Shaykh here, he summarizes the four levels or the four darajat, degrees of al-iman in al-qada wal-qada. And then he talks more specifically in detail concerning that first level, which is related to the topic of tonight's session, that is Allah's all-encompassing knowledge. That Allah's knowledge of everything, including the exact total number of the people who will be in the paradise, and the exact total number of the people that will be in the hellfire. So in the summary of the four darajat, the four degrees or the four levels of al-iman in al-qada wal-qada, he says, number one, al-martaba al-ula, yani the first level, al-iman bi-ilmi Allah al-shamil, al-shamil, al-muhit bi-kulli shayin, wa anna Allah alima al-ashya azalan, alima ma kana وما يكون وما لم يكن لو كان كيف يكون لا يخفى على علمه شيء سبحانه وتعالى. So the first level of al-iman in qada wal-qada, he said, it is having iman in the all-encompassing knowledge of Allah. Ilm Allah al-shamil, that Allah's knowledge is all-encompassing. Al-muhit bi kulli shayin, yani that it encompasses, it includes, it's comprehensive of everything. Nothing is outside of His knowledge. That Allah, and that Allah has knowledge, had this knowledge of everything eternally. He always had this knowledge. And there wasn't a time when there was ignorance and then He came to know. Rather, He always knew. And then He summarizes, yani He summarizes what is required for a person to believe concerning this first level of al-iman in al-qada wal-qada. He says it is that Allah alima ma kana, He knew what was, wa ma yakunu, and what will be, and thirdly, wa ma lam yakun, and what was not, what didn't occur, law kana kayfa yakunu, if it had occurred, how it would be. Number one, Allah knows what was, and number two, He knows what will be, and He knows what wasn't, what didn't happen, what didn't occur, if it had occurred, how it would have been. So this is the comprehensive knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of everything. And He says that nothing is hidden from the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first level. The second level, and of course these are, yani all of this are very brief yani comments concerning the four levels before he talks in detail, more detail about the first level, which is Allah's all-encompassing, His comprehensive knowledge of everything. Second level, المرتبة الثانية أن الله جل وعلا. And here I want to note that in the translation of Sheikh Saleh Fawzan's book, the order or the numbering is messed up. So please pay attention. I mean, if a person read carefully, it's clear that it's wrong. Something's wrong here. The second point in Martaba Thaniya, he says, is that Allah Jalla wa Ala kataba fil lawh al-mahfuz maqadir al-khalaiq ba'da an 'alimaha subhanahu. Yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote in the preserved tablet the predetermined measures of all created things after he already knew it. In the English translation, it doesn't begin with this statement. It actually begins with what comes after this statement, preceded this statement, and it is looks as though what I'm going to read right now came as part of the first level. But in reality, it's part of the second level. So the second level begins with Allah, and with the second paragraph. And then the paragraph that came before it is that this, yani, second level that Allah wrote in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, yani the predetermined measures of all created beings, he said, وَهِيَ الْكِتَابَ الْعَامَ الشَّامِلَ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Yani that this is the writing that is general and it is all-inclusive of everything. This statement came before the statement that Allah wrote everything in the Lawh al-Mahfuz. In the English translation, this statement came first and it actually came under the number one. It really should have come under number two, yani the level of Allah's writing, the Kitaba. So Allah wrote everything in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, yani the predetermined measures of all created beings, after he already knew it. Yani knowledge came first and then writing. And he said this is the general all-inclusive writing of everything, and it came in the hadith, yani that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna awwala ma khalaq Allah al-qalam." قال اكتب قال ما اكتب قال اكتب ما هو كائن الى يوم القيامه الى يوم القيامه. So it came in a hadith and that hadith is mentioned by Abu Ya'la as marfu'an from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, attributed to the Prophet, and Al-Bayhaqi mentioned it in his Sunan al-Kubra mawqufan, yani attributed to a companion, yani mawquf to Ali, to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and it's also mentioned by Abu Dawud al-Tirmidhi and others. Yani this hadith came mentioned as a marfu'an statement attributed to the Prophet and as a mawquf statement. Mawquf means that it stopped at the companion. It didn't go, the chain doesn't go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it came both mentioned marfu'an and mentioned mawquf as a statement of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. So he said in this hadith, yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when Allah first created the pen, when he created the pen, he said to it, write, and he said, what shall I write? And he said, write everything that is going to occur until Yawm al-Qiyamah. Yani Allah told the pen to write everything that is going to occur until Yawm al-Qiyamah. So this hadith is also a summary of the second level of the writing, al-kitaba. Yani what is it that was written? Everything that will occur until Yawm al-Qiyamah. Everything. So the pen proceeded to write everything that was to occur until Yawm al-Qiyamah. The third level, al-martaba al-thalitha, martabat al-mashi'ah. So the third level is al-mashi'ah, yani the will of Allah. Here we mean, yani, here also I'll just make a quick note that there are two words that are commonly used. It came in the Quran, it came in the Sunnah, and the scholars mentioned them. Al-Mashiyah and Al-Irada. And sometimes they are also used interchangeably. Sometimes they are used interchangeably. And we have studied in Aqidah Wasatiyah, yani Al-Irada Al-Qawniyah and Al-Irada Al-Shar'iyah. So Al-Irada Al-Qawniyah is what is more specifically referred to, yani the universal will of Allah is what is referred to as Al-Mashiyah. Yani that which Allah decreed that must be. And Al-Irada Al-Shar'iyah is what came in the Sharia, what Allah legislated. What Allah legislated. So even though we're going to see these terms coming, Al-Mashiyah and Al-Irada, and both of them, yani mean the will of Allah. However, yani there is a difference between the will of Allah, that which He decreed that must occur, and it includes what He loves and what He doesn't love, what He's pleased with and what He's not pleased with, and what Allah legislated, what he loves and what he's pleased with, what he legislated in the Sharia. So the will of Allah, yani, can be divided into that which he decreed that must occur, even if he doesn't love it or doesn't, is not pleased with it. And also the will of Allah includes that which he intends that we should do, that which he has legislated in the Sharia. Here the Shaykh says the third level, Maratab al-Mashiyah, yani the will of Allah. لا يكون في هذا القول شيء إلا بإرادة الله ومشيئته. Yani nothing will occur or exist in this universe except that it's by the irada of Allah and the mashiyah of Allah, what Allah intends and what Allah wills. And that is مما هو في اللوح المحفوظ. Yani nothing will occur except by the will of Allah, which all of it is included in what is in the preserved tablet, what has been written in the preserved tablet, وفي علمه, and في علمه سبحانه وتعالى, and that which is in his knowledge. So here the Shaykh is saying the third level is yani the will of Allah, that nothing occurs except by the will of Allah, and that which Allah wills is what is already written in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, and it is what Allah knew yani always, what he always knew. So the knowledge came first, and then the writing, and then Allah wills. Allah wills for something, either he decrees it and it must happen, whether he likes it, whether it's something that he's pleased with or not, or he legislates it and it may or may not happen. And what Allah legislates is only that which he loves and is pleased with. The Shaykh says nothing occurs without his irada, without what Allah yani wills. وَلَا يَكُنْ فِي مُلْقِهِ مَا لَا يُرِيدُ. And nothing will occur in his kingdom except what he wills. And then he mentions from Surah Al-Hajj, 22nd Surah, 14th Ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ. Allah does whatever he wills. And he also mentions from Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 40th Ayah, كَذَلِكَ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Yani Allah, indeed Allah is the one who does whatever he wills, ma yurid, and likewise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yaf'alu ma yasha. And the meaning here is what? That Allah does whatever he wills. In one ayat, yani the word, yani irada, the root of it, it came in this ayat, and in the other one, al-mashiyah. And like I said, al-irada and al-mashiyah both refer to the will of Allah. But yani when they are mentioned separately, then they will take the meaning general. But if yani there are some specific cases in which yani al-irada may mean yani what Allah intends by legislating it, by commanding the believers to pray or to fast or to believe and so on, and that type of will is what may or may not occur, as opposed to al-mashiyah, the will of Allah that Allah decreed, yani it has to occur, it has to occur. So there's nothing that occurs in this universe, he said, except that it is yani in accordance with the irada or the mashiyah of Allah, whether it is life and death, or a person having wealth or poverty, or iman or kufr. All of that, yani kullu dhalika sha'ahu Allah wa aradahu. All of this is what Allah intended and what Allah willed. Yani he willed sha'a al-khayr wa sha'a al-shar. And that he willed, meaning his Mashiach, what he decreed. He decreed good, and he also decreed yani evil. And he decreed iman, and he decreed kufr. All of this is from his Mashiach. Yani فَدَخَلَ فِي مَشِيَتِهِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Yani all of this is included in what Allah willed. And here we should note that Allah willing, yani he willed there to be good and there to be evil, can only be referring to his Mashiach, yani his irada qawniya, yani his universal will, that which he decreed, that which he decreed. Because Allah, yani the irada shara'iyya is what he legislates, what he loves and is pleased with. Allah doesn't love evil, he doesn't love kufr. So this is the Mashiach, yani what Allah decreed. He decreed that there be good and that there be evil, that there be iman and that there be kufr. All of this is included in the Mashiach of Allah. And then the Shaykh closes here with a summary statement from the scholars of the people of Sunnah, yani which summarizes what a person is required to believe concerning this yani third level of iman in al-qada wal-qada, he said, ما شاء كان وما لم يشاء لم يكن. Yani what Allah willed was, and what Allah didn't will was not. Yani whatever Allah willed would occur, and whatever Allah doesn't will would never happen. And again, this is the mashiyah of Allah, because Allah wills, in His legislative will, He wills that people pray, and that they fast, and that they believe, and it, for some people it happens, and for other people it doesn't happen. Here what we're referring to is what Allah decreed that must occur, and this is, yani, the mashiyah of Allah, His universal will, yani, which includes what He loves and is pleased with, and that which He doesn't love and is not pleased with. Whatever Allah wills in His universal will, it happens. And whatever He doesn't will, yani, doesn't happen. Question, the fourth level, al-martaba al-rabiya, of iman in al-qada and qada, is martabat al-khalq wal-ijad. Yani, it is the level of creation and bringing things into existence. Yani, the fourth level of the essential elements of a person's correct iman in al-qada wal-qada is to believe that Allah is the only creator and the only one who brings anything into existence. Al-khalq wal-ijad. فَمَا شَاءَهُ وَأَرَادَهُ فَإِنَّهُ يُوجِدُهُ وَيَخْلُقُهُ. Yani, whatever Allah wills and whatever He intends, then He brings it into existence and He creates it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knew what was going to happen. He wrote it in the preserved tablet, and then He willed for something to happen, and when He willed it, He brought it into existence. He created it. These are the four levels of al-iman and al-qada wal-qada. The Shaykh says here, from the Quran, Surah Al-Zumar, 39th Surah, 62nd Ayat, Allahu khaliqu kulli shay'in. Allah is the creator of everything. There's nothing that exists except Allah is its creator. There's no creator of good and creator of evil. There's only one creator, that is Allah. Allahu khaliqu kulli shay'in. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَقِيلٌ. He is the creator of everything, and He is the one, yani, who disposes of all affairs. And then he mentions from Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 54th Ayah, أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْعَمْرُ. Yani, to Allah belongs the creation and the command. The creation and the command. And then finally, he mentions from Surah Al-Hadid, 57th Surah, 22nd Ayah, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا. Yani, that nothing befalls, yani, no musiba, no calamity occurs in the earth or in yourselves, except that it is in a book, yani, written before we bring it into existence. In other words, Allah wrote it in the Lawh Mahfuz, and then He brought it into existence. He created it. So these are the four levels that the Shaykh summarized, and these levels are discussed in great detail in some of the books that are detailed concerning the topic of Al-Qadha and Al-Qadha. Now the Shaykh here, he goes to the details of the first level, and that's because this topic is related to the statement of the author that Allah knew, He always knew, yani, the number, the exact number of the people of paradise and the people in the hellfire. And this comes under the level, yani, of Allah's, yani, comprehensive, all-inclusive knowledge. He says the evidences of the knowledge are many, are very many. كثيرة جدا. The evidences of Allah's comprehensive, all-inclusive knowledge are many. And from that which Allah has described Himself with is knowledge. From that which Allah has described Himself with is knowledge. And that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows. And from that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the number of those who would enter the paradise and those who would enter the hellfire. And this is from His eternal knowledge. Yani, knowledge that He always had. And also, that what Allah has, yani, مَا قَدَّرَهُ اللَّهُ, Yani what Allah has pre, yani decreed, what He has pre-measured, before He executed it, before He brought it into existence, He said, what Allah has pre-measured, there will not be any increase or decrease in it. It will be as Allah said it to be. And from that is that Allah knows, yani from those things that there will be no increase or decrease in, is that Allah's knowledge, He knows the people of paradise and the people of the hellfire, and He also knows their actions, yani what they would be doing. Then the Shaykh says, نُؤْمِنُ بِذَلِكَ وَنَتَّجِهُ إِلَى الْعَمَلِ. So we believe in this, or we believe in Allah's all-encompassing knowledge, that He knows how many people and exactly who they are that will be in the paradise and who will be in the hellfire. And if we have time, inshallah, we'll read the hadith in detail. Yani we believe that Allah knows this, and then we act upon it. Yani we direct ourselves to acting upon this knowledge. Yani that Allah already knew, and that doesn't mean because He knew that we don't have any choice and therefore it's nothing left for us. Rather, knowing, yani Allah's knowledge is Allah knows everything, but nonetheless still, yani every person is responsible for their actions. So we direct ourselves, yani to doing the actions that, yani due to which we will earn the mercy of Allah and perhaps admittance into His paradise. He said, وَلَا نَتَنَاقَشُ فِي الْقَضَى وَالْقَضَى. Yani this is not something that we should be debating or disputing about, the matters of the divine decree. Saying كيف ولماذا وكيف يحاسب على شيء قد قدره. Yani like a person says, how can that be? Yani why is that like that? How is it that a person can be called to account for something that had been pre-decreed? He said, this is not acceptable. This is not something that can be argued, debated, or disputed. He said, إلى آخر حذيانات يعني وإضاعة الأوقات وإعتراض على الله عز وجل. يعني these type of questions and arguments that a person might raise, يعني he said, this is not يعني from the right of the human being. يعني this nonsense and this wasting of time and this يعني resistance or rebuttal or rejection of يعني what Allah has decreed. What is obligatory upon us? الواجب عليك فعل الطاعات واجتناب المعاصي. يعني arguing and disputing and questioning and trying to figure out يعني why Allah decreed something, or how can Allah decree this, or why would Allah punish a person or call a person to account if He already pre-decreed it? This is not our responsibility. What is obligatory upon you is that you do the acts of obedience, at-ta'at, and that you avoid the acts of disobedience, al-ma'asi. فَلَيْسَ شَعْنِ الْعَبْدِ التَّفْتِيشِ فِي سِرِّ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَمُخَاسَمَةِ الْرَبِّ جَلَّ وَعَلَى. He said, it is not from the affairs, from the rights of the human beings to investigate the secret of Allah, yani the divine decree and its nature and its reality. It's not from the human being to delve into this and to argue and dispute with the Rabb al-Alameen. Rather, his affair, the affair of the human being, is al-amal, is doing the deeds that are required by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah has commanded us with, and avoiding what He has prohibited. It is for this reason, yani that the affairs that a person attends to their deeds, it is for this reason, when the Prophet ﷺ informed his companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, أنما منهم من أحد إلا مكتوب مقعده من الجنة أو مقعده من النار. When the Prophet ﷺ informed his companions that there is no one, ما منهم, yani there is no one from amongst them except that his seat in the paradise or his seat in the hellfire is already written. It's already known to Allah, and it is written in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, and it will occur as Allah knew it to be and wrote it. They said, Ya Rasulullah, ala nattaqil ala kitabina wa natruk al-amal. Shouldn't we then just rely upon what has been written for us? If it's already decreed and it's going to be that way, shouldn't we then just rely on what has been written for us and abandon deeds? And what's the point of doing, of striving and struggling to do deeds when it's already written and it's already recorded and it's already decided? He said, "La." And he, "No, this is not right. E'amal, e'amalu." But you should be working, striving and struggling to do good. فَكُلٌّ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. Because every person will find it made easy for him that which he has been created for. And whoever has been decreed by Allah's previous perfect knowledge, who Allah knew what they're going to do, and as a result, where they're going to be, in the paradise or the hellfire, whoever Allah knew, yani what they were created for, Allah will make it easy for them to do the deeds of their destination. Allah will make it easy for the people of paradise to do the deeds of paradise. The Shaykh says, he mentions these ayats which make crystal clear to us that this doesn't mean that Allah decided a person is going to be in the paradise and they had nothing to do with it. Rather, Allah knew that they're going to do good deeds or they're going to do evil deeds, and then He makes it easy for them. But a person has to be doing something. And here the Shaykh mentions from Surah Al-Layl, the 4th through the 7th ayat, and then the 8th through the 10th ayat, he mentions, إِنَّ سَعْيَكُمْ لَشَتَّى. That indeed your efforts and your strivings will be different, will be diverse. Yani people will go in different directions and be doing different deeds. So, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. So as far as the one who gives, who does what Allah has commanded, and who observes taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and testifies to the truth of al-husna, yani of that which is good, that which is best, yani the paradise, then Allah will make it easy for him, yani the path to ease, the path to doing good that leads to the paradise. The Shaykh says, as-sabab min al-abd nafsihi, imma an yas'ad wa imma an yashqa. So he said the cause of a person's destination, yani what has been decreed for them, the sabab, the cause of it, is from the person, is from oneself. As sabab min al-abd nafsihi. Yani the reason why a person is going to be in the hellfire is because of their own, yani doing. They're going to cause their self to be in the hellfire. Either a person will be of those who are, yani blessed, yani the people of paradise, who will be of the people who are wretched, who will be in the hellfire. And then he mentions, yani the saying, yani the other group of people, وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى, as far as those who, or the one who, yani withholds giving, doing what Allah has commanded, and considers themselves to be free of need of Allah, and then they, yani deny, or belie the husna, the good, that which is best, the paradise. Yani they don't recognize yani what Allah has offered, and they decide to do whatever they want to do. Allah says He will make it easy for them, yani to the difficult path, yani the path of wretchedness, the path of the people of the hellfire. So what is required from us is al-amal as-sali, and to abandon al-amal as-sayyi. Yani what is required is that a person strives to do righteous deeds, and that they avoid and that they abandon doing evil deeds. Those people, yani who give, as opposed to those people who withhold. Those people who observe taqwa of Allah, and those people who feel free of need of Allah. And those people who testify to the truthfulness of al-husna, of al-jannah. And those people who deny it. So their actions, their behavior is the cause of them being in the end, in the paradise, or in the hellfire by the mercy of Allah and His favor. The people who do good deeds, Allah will make it easy for them to do them, and as a result of those good deeds, Allah will grant His mercy. Allah will grant His mercy and His bounty, due to which a person will enter the paradise, not merely upon their deeds alone, but their deeds are means to earn Allah's mercy. The Shaykh says, وَمَا الْإِحْتِجَاجِ بِالْقَضَى وَالْقَضَى فَلَيْسَ بِعُذْرٍ. And as far as a person arguing, and he based on, well, this has been pre-decreed, and it's already been decided, this will not be an excuse. For indeed Allah Azza wa Jalla has made clear that which is khair, good, and He has made clear that which is shar, evil. So there will be no excuse. Yani, a person arguing that, well, it was predestination, pre-decreed, preordained, and they only did what was already fixed. Rather, Allah has made clear that which is good and that which is evil, and then it's upon a person to choose, and to use their limited free will to choose, to do good, to seek the pleasure of Allah, or to do evil, and accept its consequences. The Shaykh says that the people fall into problems, بِسَبَبِ دُخُولِهِمْ فِي أَشْيَاءَ لَيْسَتْ مِنْ إِخْتِصَاصِهِمْ. And some people will fall into problems as a result of them entering into things or delving into affairs that is of no concern to them. Yani, meaning the affairs of the qadr of Allah, the qadr and qadr of Allah. They say, for example, a person may say, إن كان الله قد كتب لي أن أدخل الجنة دخلتها. And if Allah has already written that I'm going to be admitted into the paradise, so then I'm going to enter into the paradise. And if Allah has already written for me that I'm going to enter the fire, then I'm going to enter the fire. So then that person doesn't do deeds. They don't strive to seek Allah's mercy and His favor and His pleasure. And then, yani, this is the result, yani, this is the consequence of a person who delves into those affairs that are not of their concern, as opposed to being occupied with what is our concern, and that is our deeds. As far as what Allah has decreed, that's with Allah. So he said, to such a person who says this, whatever Allah has decreed is going to be, that's how they say it in the Western society, predestination, whatever will be, will be. And as far as the person who says that, it should be said to them, you don't say this about yourself, about your worldly affairs. Yani, do you just sit in your house and abandon seeking provisions and say that if Allah had written, decreed for me provisions, He will make it easy for me? Or do you go out and strive and seek your provisions? He said, the animals and the birds don't sit in their places. Rather, they go out seeking their provisions. As it came in the hadith that's reported by Imam Ahmad and Ibn Majah and At-Tirmidhi and others. At-Tirmidhi said the hadith is Hasan Sahih. He said, as it came in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَتَوَكَّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ لَرَزَقَكُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُ الطَّيْرِ تَغْدُو خِمَاسًا وَتَرُوحُ بِطَانٍ. And if you were to put your trust in Allah, rely upon Allah, tawakkul, and upon Allah in the way that He deserves to be depended upon. And if a person puts their trust in Allah, which means that they make the effort to utilize the means to achieve what they are seeking, or to prevent the harm from coming to them, and then their heart is attached to Allah making them successful. And if the heart is attached to Allah, that's what he means by tawakkul, utilizing the means to achieve the goal, but the heart, yani, being attached to Allah. Because the means in and of themselves don't guarantee anything. Allah is the one who guarantees the end. So if you were, you people, if you were to put your trust in Allah in the way that He deserves, then He would have provided for you like He provided for the, like He provides for the birds. They go out in the morning with empty stomachs, and they come back in the evening with their bellies full. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created these animals, birds and other animals and other creatures. He has created them, yani, in their nature, to seek their provisions. وَعَلَى فِعْلِ الْأَسْبَابِ, and to utilize the means to achieve the goal. And these are animals. وأنت رجل عاقل. So what about you? يعني an intelligent, rational human being. يعني the animals don't sit and wait for their provisions to come to them. But they put their trust in Allah and they go out and seek. And Allah provides for them. And this is what is required of the human being. And then the Shaykh says finally, on this particular point, he says, لَأَنَّ أَحَدًا سَرِكَ مِنْكَ شَيْئًا هَلْ تَقُولُ هَذَا قَضَاءٌ وَقَدَرٌ أَمْ تَشْكِيهِ أَمْ تَشْتَكِيهِ تَشْتَكِيهِ. يعني that if a person was to steal something from you, would you say, well, this is what Allah had pre-decreed? Or would you complain? يعني would you make a complaint, file a complaint, and seek, يعني your rights, يعني what has been taken from you, argue the point? You wouldn't just, يعني leave it, that this is what Allah has decreed. Rather, a person would seek to rectify the affair and to get what has been taken from them. And he said, therefore, in the same way, يعني the meaning is that in the same way, يعني a person shouldn't take the matter of what Allah has pre-decreed lightly. Rather, a person has to seek the means to achieve the goal while putting their trust, while depending and relying upon Allah alone. This is what we have time to mention, and there's only just a couple of minutes left before the adhan, so I'm going to take those couple of minutes just to read the hadith that the Shaykh referred to in the beginning, that Allah, Al-Imam al-Tahawi says that Allah always knew the number of the people in the paradise and the number of the people in the hellfire. Imam Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani rahimahullah says the author is referring here to the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr. To the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out to us one day and in his hand were two books, kitaban. فَقَالَ أَتَدْرُونَ مَا هَذَانِ الْكِتَابَانِ. Do you all know what these two books are? They said, Ya la, Ya Rasulullah, illa an tukhbiruna. We don't know unless you inform us. So he said, concerning the one that was in his right hand, هذا كتاب من رب العالمين فيه أسماء أهل الجنة وأسماء آبائهم وقبائلهم ثم أجمل على آخرهم فلا يزاد فيهم ولا ينقص منهم أبدا. And this is what the author is referring to, this hadith. And the Shaykh said, the Prophet ﷺ came out to the people and he said, you know what these two books are? And they said, no, unless you inform us. He said, this book, pointing to the one in his right hand, is from the Rabbil Alameen, and in it are the names of the people of Jannah, and the names of their fathers, and their tribes. And then, he completed it, summarized it, totaled what they were to the end of the people of the paradise. And then he said, there will not be any increase. Nobody else will be included in the people of paradise except those who are mentioned in this book. And there will be no decrease from it at all. And then he said, concerning the book in his left hand, this is a book from the Rabbul Alameen. In it are the names of the people of the hellfire, and the names of their fathers and their tribes, until he completed the mention of the last of them. And he said there will be no increase in them and there will be no decrease from them at all. فَقَالَ أَصْحَابُهُ فَفِيمَا الْعَمَلُ إِنْ كَانَ الْأَمْرُ قَدْ فُرِغَ مِنْهُ. Then his companions said to him, so what's the point of doing deeds if the matter is finished and it is sealed, it's already done? In this narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, سَدِّدُوا وَقَارِبُوا فَإِنَّ صَاحِبْ الْجَنَّةِ يُخْتَمُ لَهُ بِعَمَلْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ وَإِنْ عَمِلَ أَيَّ عَمَلْ. That you should seek to be on point, to hit the mark, or to be near to it, to get near to it. For indeed, in other words, a person should try as best they can to do what is right. For indeed, the people, the person who is going to be from the people of the paradise, يُخْتَمَ لُهُ بِعَامَلَ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. His deeds will be sealed by doing deeds of the people of paradise. He will end his life upon doing the deeds of the people of paradise. As opposed to the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said that some people will do the deeds of the people of paradise in that which appears to the people, And then when that which is when they get arm's length from the yani paradise, that which is written will overcome them, and they will begin to do the deeds of the people of hellfire and enter it, and the opposite yani as well. Meaning that what matters is what a person dies upon. Yani what Allah gives a person tawfiq yani to die upon of good is what is really what seals the matter. For the people of paradise, yani yukhtamu lahu bi'amal ahl al-jannah, yani their life will end with them doing the deeds of the people of paradise, even if they have done some other deeds yani other than that. And indeed the people of the hellfire, their life will be sealed with them doing the deeds of the people of the hellfire, even if they have done other deeds other than that, other than the deeds of the people of hellfire. ثم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بيديه, then the Prophet yani motioned or gestured with his two hands. فَنَبِذَهُمَا, and he threw yani or tossed away those two books, and then he said, فَرَغَ رَبُّكُمْ مِنَ الْعِبَادِ, your Rabb has finished from the worshippers. Yani he finished the affair, it's closed, it's sealed. And then he recited from Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd Surah, 7th Ayat, فَرِيكٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيكٌ فِي السَّعِيَةِ, yani a party or group of them will be in the paradise, and a party or group of them will be in the hellfire. And the hadith is reported by At-Tirmidhi, who said that it's sahih, and others besides him also said that it is sahih, and Shaykh al-Albani mentions it in Silsila Hadith al-Sahiha. Naam. So this is what we wanted to mention for today, and this is the first yani part of the discussion concerning al-qadha and al-qadha, yani the knowledge of Allah, the all-encompassing knowledge of Allah, and specifically al-Imam al-Tahawi mentions his knowledge of the number of the people, yani the total exact number of the people who will be in the paradise, and the total exact number of the people who will be in the hellfire. May Allah make us of those people who will be in the paradise, and may Allah grant us success and make it easy for us to do the deeds of the people of paradise, and let and may Allah put it in our hearts to strive and to go after doing the best that we can and to be on point, to hit the mark, or to at least be near to it and doing the deeds of the people of paradise to earn the mercy of Allah, and that perhaps we will enter the paradise. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grants success in doing whatever we do, sincerely for His sake alone, and that we do it in accordance with the authentic sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask Allah to recognize, record and reward our good deeds, and that He pardon, forgive and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He grant us al-thabat, yani to be firm and steadfast upon sirat al-mustaqim until we return to Him, in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant yani good health to those amongst us who are sick, to grant them recovery yani from their conditions, and to shower those who have passed away, to shower upon them His rahmah, and to fill their graves with light, and to make them spacious, and to admit them into His paradise, and protect them from the hellfire and from the punishment of the grave. And that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant relief and His protection yani to those amongst the believers and the Muslims who are being persecuted and slaughtered in Palestine and elsewhere, and that Allah yani protect them from before them and from behind them and from their right and from their left and from above them and below them, and that Allah grant them victory over their enemies. And indeed Allah is the only one from whom help is sought. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.